Brad Treliving is the general manager of the Calgary Flames. There are no games. There's no scouting. There may not be a draft. So the question really is to Brad Treliving, what are you doing to justify your existence and yourself at this trying time?
Well, I'm not really doing a really good job of it, Boom, to be honest with you. Failing miserably at parenting is probably at the top of the list.
It's tricky because here's the thing. They don't leave and you don't leave. It's not like you can make a point and then storm off or leave the house or make them go outside or do anything. I said it earlier. Yesterday was a bit of a eye-opener that we're maybe going to have to be a little bit more considerate and just give each other a little bit more space because the house is getting smaller by the day.
Yeah, the walls are moving in. We've regrouped. We've kind of gone through a couple stages. Initially in our house, and I've got two teenage daughters, it was viewed sort of as like a snow day, you know. The girls kind of looked at this as they were on vacation, and then we had to kind of have a little team meeting and change some things around and get a little structure in and get some responsibilities going here. And so we bounced back a little bit, and actually things are moving along fairly smoothly.
Now, how receptive were the daughters to this notion? Because I'm in the same, it's like you said, a snow day. It's party time. And the suggestion anything other than, you know, some video games or YouTube, the fact that anything other than that would take place, crazy talk.
Well, yeah, anybody that's got teenage daughters, when the list of things to do, and, you know, we've got some time here to take advantage of getting some things done, and you got some responsibilities, and there's that teenage daughter look that you get that you've just, you know, basically told them to fly to the moon and back. Mm-hmm. That how dare I impress upon their, you know, sort of their vacation, their mid-spring or their early spring vacation. So that's when we just sort of called time out. Everybody got a little tightening, and we moved on, and we're attitudes have changed, and we're doing okay.
So everyone in your house is really happy to have you around. More than usual.
Oh no, that lasted about 24 hours. So
this is cool. Dad's home. Look at Dad's home. Some quality time. Watch a movie. Pop some corn. Sure, that'd be great. Then it's day two. It's like, no, I don't think so.
Yeah. Well, we've enacted no parties more than one can congregate at one time, because I believe that some point between the two of them and my wife, I see them huddling. That every morning's a gift, because I just, at some point, they're taking me out in the middle of the night, and every time that I can wake up and survive this group, I take advantage of each day.
We have a couple pressing questions we've been talking about, and I fear bringing it up every day because people are going to get tired, but I'm curious. Very important questions. The first one, do you eat the end pieces of a loaf of bread, the two end pieces?
Those are the best pieces of the loaf of bread.
Okay. Well, you're
wow. Just like that. Nice.
Yeah,
that.
Not even question.
So when
didn't
you
have to think about it.
Yeah. So you're going to make a sandwich or toast or whatever. You open a fresh
loaf. No. Those are standalones. Those, you're not throwing those on. You're not putting those in the bread. Those are standalone. You know what? Those are the best in a toaster and a little bit of peanut butter. Hmm. But they're. You know, they're not taking part in a sandwich or nothing like that.
See, funny, man, because I've heard this from a few people. Everybody loves these end pieces, but yet when you open a fresh loaf, no one's going for them first. It's all dodgy to me.
Yeah, I mean they're role players, right? They know where they're not jumping in a sandwich. They're going exactly. They're jumping into a toaster, and then you throw a little peanut butter on those, and top shelf.
I trust you. I went to my stupid compost. I had to put something in the compost the other day. Not only were the end pieces in there, but like the two beside the end pieces were in there. Okay, listen, we're trying to buckle down here and say we're looking to keep things moving here.
They just got tossed.
They just got yarded right out.
Wow.
Yeah. And secondly, our poll, our online poll today is, what have you let slip most since the isolation? Putting on pants, brushing teeth, showering, or your commitment to fitness? What would it be for you?
Doing pretty good on all, well, I guess putting, you know, with, I guess, pants, I would find that, like, I'm not wearing slacks or anything like that. So pants, I'm going to go with pants. It's shorts or it's jeans or it's, there's no dress clothes getting.
No, on. Certainly not. Yeah.
No.
It's shorts. Guys yeah. need to just let it, let everything
100%.
Be.
100%. 100% shorts.
Yeah. Kron is very much on the, well, we went through this, says he's still brushing his teeth, although it's a, he has, what do you call it, bad jibs?
Bad, crooked jibs, crooked bad jibs, and you need to really get in there to work it out. I can't let that go, because there's a lot of crevices and places for stuff to grow in there. You got to take care of it, Dean.
Kron, you could have gone D, all of the above, no?
Well, yeah, I know, but apparently that's not the option, though, Tree. I don't have that option. I got to play by the rules of the game. I'm limited.
But we said this. Yeah. He's not let his fitness slip. You're at the same rate.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Right. I mean, I've plateaued, and I'm no better or no worse. I'm in the same boat.
Consistency. Well, no, I think it's good. Now, here's what I'd say to you guys, and As difficult as this time is, and listen, there's a lot more people doing, you know, you feel for those people that are in tough spots, and it's been hard. It's, you know, this time's hard on everybody, but I'm going to challenge you guys maybe to step up the fitness a little bit. You know, maybe Dino, it works as, you know, go for a 10-minute walk, and then you progress that each week to a 10-minute run, and then add 5 minutes each week, and see, wouldn't it be great? You guys come out of this. See, you're broadcasting from home, right? Everybody's at home. Is that how
that's right? Yeah,
yeah.
And then you show back up in the studio, and everybody's just back to their 21-year-old svelte look. I think that would be phenomenal. So why don't you put a little challenge together for the group, for the three or four of you?
Well, I think it's just a direct shot at Will, I believe. I mean, Will is probably the one that's let it go the most. I on the other hand, just think I'm just gonna dye my hair black. I think that's what I'm gonna do. So when I come back in the studio, I look younger immediately.
Yeah, or that. That's the other.
Problem. Yeah, or
yeah,
that.
Or definitely do that. Yeah. No, I think that's a really great idea. Here's my thing. I feel like the incentive there just to. When we get back together to look better is probably not, you're going to need to put some dough on board. You're going to need to have some sort of dough or something at the end where it's something tangible.
You need that carrot. It's been worth. Hey, Boom, you need that carrot?
You got it.
So just, you know, living a healthier lifestyle, that doesn't cut it. Okay, so that's fine. Leave that one with me.
Okay.
You know, I care about you guys and see if we can't put together a little challenge to sure that... you know, everybody's just getting in a little bit better shape.
Yeah, need some bonuses in my contract, right?
That's
some
right.
Bonuses to get there, right?
Okay.
We need a bonus laden contract here, for sure.
Yeah, 35 plus contract here. Yeah.
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 Okay. We got Brad Schliving joining us on the phone. So between Mama and the daughters and all of this. Who are you? What's on your daily sked? Are you keeping in touch with anybody on a routine daily basis from your staff or with your team or anything?
Oh yeah, you're trying to stay. I think it's important. You try to keep, as you talked about, your body active, but your mind active too. And so as much as we can, it's been fairly busy. You know, a couple things internally. We've tried to keep. Not tried to keep. We have kept our scouting staff busy. At the end of the day, we've tried to take the mentality that we're going to come out of this. We don't know when, but you know, there's an opportunity here to hopefully, you know, take advantage of, especially on our scouting side. So when we look at, you know, at some point there's going to be a draft. So we've, you know, our amateur scouts are working both, you know, to refine the list. But also expand it through video and making sure that we've got a number of viewings, and if there's crossover viewings that need to be done, we've outlined a pretty extensive video, you know, sort of some video work that they're going to do, as well as, you know, a lot of background work still is ongoing. A lot of the interview process that would normally take place face-to-face is going on, whether it be on the phone, FaceTime. Mm-hmm. So the amateur staff is dug in pretty good. And then the same thing with the pro staff. We're going back and really watching games, whether it be the American Hockey League, whether it be, you know, project work that we're studying on NHL players. So that's really the scouting work that will continue to happen and needs to happen. And then, you know, just our, you know, the regular day is we try to get an update, to all of our guys each day, through information of the NHL or anything else that we've heard, or, you know, just making sure that we're keeping everybody as informed as we possibly can. And then daily I make sure that I'm talking to, you know, obviously our management group on a daily basis, touching base with members of the coaching staff, just picking a couple, three members of our staff, scouting staff, that I'll phone directly, and then players I'm texting on a regular basis or talking to. So it's important, I think, in times like these, that there's a lot of uncertainty. Sometimes, you know, sometimes with that comes stress and it comes worry, and you're trying to ease people's fears and keep them informed as much up to the minute as you can. So that's, you know, the league does a good job of having regular calls for the managers, and so we're staying busy, and business has moved on. We've signed a couple of guys last week, and you know, there's always stuff to do. As there is stuff around the house, there's always stuff to do to figure out how we can make ourselves, you know, stay busy, but also find projects to do to help the team we're a little bit ahead of it when we get out of it.
Yeah. Now, the GMs had a conference call yesterday. What kind of hard conversation can there be? Because my guess is it's more questions than answers. It's another week of contingency goes out the window. What was covered on the GM call yesterday?
Yeah, sort of like that, Boom. It's lots of questions that were answered, and the league does a really good job. Bill Daly and Gary Bettman were both, you know, giving an update. But the prevailing comment is there's a lot of uncertainty right now. It's you know, we're at that stage where, you know, the league is no different than, you know, any other segment of the population. We just don't know, you know, this as we go through this. So, you know, there's certainly hope, and a lot of planning of how it would happen, and that the league would come back and complete our season. But to say when or if and how, it's just unknown right now. So they do a great job of just sort of keeping everybody as apprised as they can of, you know, whether there's new information throughout the league or, you know, potential planning and all those types of things. But there's just too much uncertainty. We don't know yet. Obviously, there's going to be some change to the calendar when you talk about not just the playing of games, but, you know, you've got a draft that's upcoming. You've got awards banquets. You've got all the critical dates that happen within the NHL calendar that are going to have to be altered. But and those will in time. But right now, there's just no different than anywhere else. There's just a lot of uncertainty, and we'll see what happens.
He's Brad Treliving, GM of the Calgary Flames, our guest here on Boomer in the Morning, Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Will.
Brad, I know just based on your last answer, it's probably silly for me to even ask, but as you mentioned, the calendar being what it is with the draft kind of in June, and obviously you don't know what the resumption of your season looks like if there is one. But I just, you know, comparing other leagues is tough. The NFL draft comes up in April and GMs are asking the league to push it back, and there has been, you know, resistance from the league to do that. I guess just from your position as a GM, you mentioned the meetings, the prospects can't go face-to-face necessarily. Scouting has been taken away. A Memorial Cup's been canceled. How does the draft affect it? And I guess just your thoughts on the draft going in June and I guess, you know, kind of what that might look like if all 31 GMs can't be on the draft floor together, and if you're doing it from the Dome in Calgary, how does that change things?
Well, a few things, Will. I think for us, we're preparing know, as I said earlier, we've engaged, you know, pretty hard with our amateur guys and given them sort of planned out our next couple of months here of work. And we're preparing that the draft's going to go on as normal. Now, again, we don't know. So I don't look at it as, you know, sure, the end of the season was cut down, but for the most part, you got three quarters of the season done in terms of your amateur scout viewings. Now, there's, like I said, there's a great opportunity right now to dig deeper on our list and like I said, get guys really exposed, maybe on crossover situations where we need to. But the bulk of your work is done. The bulk of your work is done. You know, in a lot of those viewings, when you talk about Memorial Cups or, you know, even the under-18 tournaments, which is a big tournament, the World Under-18 tournament in April every year is a really heavily scouted event. But that's not your first viewing of guys. You're finalizing, you're sort of putting the last chapter of the book in. But we're going to complete all that. And a big piece is just going to be a lot of the intel that you do in terms of talking to people surrounding these players and digging for information and interviewing them. So we're going to operate just as business as usual without going to the rink, and we're going to be prepared whenever that draft takes place. Now, you know, probably, and again, they just don't know specifics or how it's going to work, but I would assume personally that there's going to be some alterations to the draft, whether that means, you know, we're going to hold it similar to the NFL where, you know, everybody's in their home cities, and you know that how it would impact it. There's not that personal connection with managers or talking, but it's quite honestly, guys, and you've been at the draft, you know, a lot of it is, you arrive there. I usually get in on the Tuesday of the draft, and I mean, you leave your room basically for meals, and you know, you're just sitting, you're holed up in the hotel room and making calls and meeting with your staff, you know, finishing off your amateur list if there's anything to tweak on there, and then you meet with your pro guys. So I don't know how much different it'll be other than there's, you're not going to be on the floor with people and having that face-to-face contact. So I think it's still a little bit premature for all that stuff. But we've made it clear to our guys there's lots of work to be done yet, and we're just going to be doing it from home and be ready as we normally would when the draft gets here.
Boom asked you about the contact with your staff and maybe with your coaching staff on a daily basis, Brad. Have you talked to any of your players gone back to Europe, or are most of them still in the city?
Yeah, most of them are still in the city. We've had a number of players go home, and we support that, you know, especially in the thing you have to keep in context. And I know we talk about these guys as professional athletes that they are and the great lifestyle that they lead, but you get into a situation like that, and it hits home how young a lot of these kids are. And basically, when this thing happened, it was, you know, we all kind of watched it in real time. I remember the Wednesday night, we were playing the Thursday. So on Wednesday night, you know, you're watching the games from around the league and you know, the NBA player gets, you know, sick and they call the game. I was in the office early Thursday morning, and we get a note that there's no morning skate, and just to get everybody home. And from that moment on, those guys, you know, there's a stick stuck right in the spoke of their life in terms of the routine, and they're so routine driven. And a lot of these guys are still 20, 21, 22 years old. And so a couple days into it, you know, they're sitting in a lot of cases in apartments by themselves because we, the league put everybody on self quarantine. So they were, you know, to get back to their families and get around their families, I thought was really important. So we've got a list here. I don't have it right in front of me. I think we've got six or seven guys that have gone home. And then the remainder of the guys are still in the city.
Brad Treliving, Flames GM, is our guest here on Sportsnet. Just going back to the draft, and again, we're just flying by the seat of our pants. Again, I'll say it. I don't see how there is a draft that is the traditional way. It was supposed to be in Montreal. I just don't see that happening. So if the draft takes place where all the teams are in their respective cities and are holed up together, you are a guy who likes to get some work done at the draft. We talked about it even at the trade deadline, that there's some deals to be made, but generally those off-season deals are easier to get done. Not being face-to-face, just for you on a from a strategic and from a standpoint of negotiation, does that hamper you at all, hinder you at all in terms of not being face-to-face?
It's a great question. Probably the best answer is I don't know. I do think the draft is a great time to get business done for a number of reasons, as everybody does. You know, you've got a fresh look at, you know, everybody's at the same, you know, starting line where you can deal with everybody. You've got a fresh, sort of everybody starting at square one in terms of the cap. You've got a lot of, you know, everybody's whatever expiring contracts you have coming off. So, the greatest financial flexibility, number one, is in the summertime. And, you know, there is that piece of being able to, you know, sit across the table from somebody and or even on the floor, just, you know, sort of connect with guys. And there's always that, you know, there's always a little bit of the game within the game involved when you've got a few things on the go and you're kind of watching who's talking to whom and those types of things. But I think you're still, you know, the business is going to get done. And as I said earlier, Boom, a lot of that week is spent, you know, holed up in your individual room and suite and sort of making your calls. So I love the draft. I really do. I think our sport's unique in the fact that we bring everybody together and, you know, the ability to have the whole league together and those 2 days on the floor where you've got, you know, everybody that you're able to interact with and get business done. And if you need to go see, you know, Doug Armstrong, you get up and you walk 50 feet and you go see Doug Armstrong. If you need to talk to a manager, you can just walk over and talk to him. So I think there's some uniqueness to it. I think it's, you know, it's always there's a lot of hope at the draft. Everybody's, you're introducing new players, but I think we'll be able to, you know, you're going to be able to get business done as normal course, but it would be new. It would be a new situation we'd have to see, but I think, you know, I don't think it's going to prevent deals and business getting done at all.
Well, the thing is, with the draft being in Montreal, you could get up and walk 50 feet on the draft floor to see a GM, or you could do it on St. Catherine. You just, because everybody, again, because having been to a draft in Montreal, it is interesting when you have the entire hockey world in five or six different bars on the same street.
Yeah, that's, I remember the last draft in Montreal, and it's one of the great cities and great stops in the league, and certainly people, you know, the fun card gets punched a lot when you get to Montreal.
Honestly, when we were there for that draft, I couldn't believe it because everybody, officials, media people, coaches that were in the league, coaches who were out of work, GMs that were out of work, everybody was there at the same time. And it was awesome. I forget who it even was. We were walking somewhere and some reporter, well, I know who it was, but unnamed, walks by and is like, "Hey, how you guys doing?" "Well, we're good, man. How are you?" "Oh, I gotta go home. Hey, you guys haven't heard any rumors, do you? I gotta go back and put my column together." So he was in the bag, heading back to the hotel to type up his column. He needed some rumors, needed some juice to put into the column. Well, it's like, "Ah, no, I got nothing for you." Should have just fed him some complete BS.
Well, that's a lot of how most media members, you know, do their job there, is just sort of wandering the streets. You know, and collecting scoops from passersby. But that's the one thing. That's the one thing unique about the draft is, as you said, it's, you know, obviously they're there and you know, the draft itself and talking to teams and making any deals that you do make. But it's, you know, the whole hockey world congregates in one spot for a week, 4 or 5 days, and, you know, so there's, you know, whether it be coaching, there's a lot of coaching hirings. You do a lot of staff interviews there if you're adding people. So it's always a busy. It'd be a shame because, like I said, I'm a big fan of the week. I think it's unique in our sport, but you know, we're in a different time here, and I think we're going to be seeing a lot of, you know, we're going to be entering a new normal here for a little bit. So we'll see what happens.
Question. So last one for you, and we'll let you go. We appreciate your time. You're at home. You're staying home. Everyone's at home. We talked to Jelly the other day. He's been at home for a long time. Two people. The one person who you miss the most seeing on a daily basis, and the one person who you're thrilled you do not have to see now on a daily basis.
The one person I...
The person that you wish that you miss seeing on a daily basis, that you look forward to, you love being around, and the one person who now you don't have to be around and you're thrilled.
Well, can it be the same person? It might be Connie, because you know, when you see Connie, he's the most energetic guy, and he's, you know, there's never a bad day, and the energy. And then about an hour later, you're like, shut the hell up. And so maybe it's one and the same. And I kid about the glad to not see. No, you miss. We're all routine driven guys. And that's probably the biggest change, that you get a little bit bouncing off the walls. But certainly miss seeing the people we see on a daily basis. But We're all going to do our part here, and that's what's expected of all of us, and we'll get through this. We will get through this. That's the one thing we say to everybody here.
Yeah, damn right.
As difficult as it is, this too shall pass. So we just we work together and stay together, and we'll get through it.
Well, good luck. Check under your... There's no TNT under your pillow or under your mattress, that the daughters aren't trying to sabotage you. Be well. Be good. We'll see you soon. Thanks for this.
Okay, fellas, be safe. We'll talk to you soon.